Co-Complain-vember. And we're focusing on being the gratefulest, a couple of non-words that we're focusing on. But we can make up whatever we want, right? And so the title of today's message is Relationships, a Mess Worth Making. And we're going to look today at being grateful for people. That can be a difficult thing at times. Last week we ended by looking at Paul's attitude of gratitude, and we called it thanks living. That Paul, over and over again in his letters, was so thankful, saying thank you, being grateful, praying to God. These prayers of thanks and praise, they were his lifestyle. It wasn't once a year Thanksgiving, it was thanks living. That's what Paul did. And so this week, I want to pick up right where we left off and look at the same verses we read at the end of the last sermon, but look at them from a different angle. And so Romans 1 verse 8 says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. And so it's not just general thankfulness. Paul is thankful for the people in the Roman church, people that at that point he had actually never met. I always thank my God for you because of his grace. That's what he said to the Corinthians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us. That's what he said to the Ephesian church. To Philippi, he said, I thank my God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. To the church in Colossae, he said, we always thank God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Thessalonica, he said, we always thank God for all of you. And in Timothy, he says, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. And so Paul, he's not just prayerful and thankful in each of those passages. He's prayerful and thankful for people. This is, I think, even more remarkable than just being thankful. I think a lot of us, most of us probably would say that people can be quite the source of frustration in our lives. There's even times, I'll be totally honest, I'm like, this, and you've probably thought this too, this church would be so awesome if it weren't for all the people. Because it's a mess sometimes, right? Most of us would probably say that people can frustrate us. There's bad drivers. People are inconsiderate, selfish, careless. But enough about me. People give us problems. It's easy to think that without people, there would be no problems, but there'd still be us. Amen? When we get really close to people, which can take a lot of effort and a lot of courage, the problems can be magnified. When we get married, that's as close as you can get. You start living with another person, and it's so wonderful, but it's often also pretty messy. You add messy kids, and it gets even crazier. Not to mention all of our relationships with our coworkers and our neighbors and our friends and family members. If you have relationships, you can probably think right now, there's a mess on your hands somewhere in your life because of one or more of those relationships. Even in the church, relationships get messy. I think especially here because we get deep, we get close to one another as a church and in our house church meetings. Doesn't all that just make you marvel at Paul's heart? That he could be so grateful and thankful for all of the people in his life. And relationships weren't easy for Paul. It's not like he was just a relationship guy. He had some confrontations that are included in the scriptures. He had this big split with his first missionary partner, Barnabas, on whether to take this other guy. It was like this battle, and they're supposed to be missionaries. This is Paul fighting over people. He had a confrontation with Peter. You talk about someone that you probably wouldn't want to have a confrontation with. The guy with the keys of the kingdom, Paul went right in his face. Because Peter was being a people pleaser. Those letters where he says, I'm thankful for you, I'm thankful for you. Later in those letters, he has to address some really difficult things. He had people who hated him. He also had people who would die for him, who loved him. So how was he able to be so grateful for all of these people that made such a mess in his life? Well, let's look for some perspective on this in the scriptures today, amen? First of all, people are messy. Let me tell you about a messy person. My daughter, Amelia. She is messy. And I don't think she's the messiest child. Elijah, Metelsky, Liam, I feel for you guys. Those are some messy people. But Amelia's messy. And we're trying to embrace her messiness as creativity. But it's difficult. Everywhere she goes in our house, she leaves messes. She leaves fingerprints. You can tell where she's been. She does artwork, which consists of tearing up papers and leaving piles of messes everywhere. She has to be scraped clean, not just bathed. The other day, Beth thought she had a birthmark on her foot, but it was actually the only clean spot. And as she started to scrub, you know, it looked like a lighter patch. It was actually just so much dirt on her foot. You can see some of the pictures. That's how she eats spaghetti. She likes to play with trash. She made a hat out of a box that came out of the trash. She likes to sit in things like boxes and buckets. And then she doesn't eat ice cream. She attacks it with her face. That's what's happening, okay? She's messy. When we look at the big story of the Bible, we see from the very beginning a truth that we can easily forget. People are messy. The Bible tells us this. The very first people sinned and got kicked out of paradise. The very first son murdered his brother. God even at one point says, I can't put up with this anymore, and sends a flood. I think one of the reasons that we often feel disappointed by people is because we start to forget what God's word says about how people are. Here's a few examples. This is Genesis 6, verse 5. God's word says that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. That's messy. In Jeremiah 17, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Like, I just don't understand these people. That's how people are. In Romans 3, and you can read verses 10 through 18 if you want a bigger picture, but you get the gist here. There is no one righteous, not even one. And that's why we need Jesus, amen? John chapter 2, Jesus himself. Well, what did Jesus think about people? Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew what was in each person. Again and again, Jesus said, it doesn't matter what your opinion of me is. It doesn't matter if you like me or you think I'm the Messiah, because you are a human. And I know what's in your heart. You're not the expert on this. The Bible does not paint a pretty picture of humankind. And before we get self-righteous and agree, we have to remember that we are a part of humankind. We can't just look at others and see the mess. We are a part of the mess ourselves. But we have to remember what we're dealing with when we're dealing with people, when we're building relationships. We shouldn't be surprised when people are mean or selfish or proud. That's the way people are, and God's word affirms that. I try to take this mindset into relationships, and even when I interact with strangers, when a waiter is polite, wow, this is awesome. When a driver is courteous, whoa, amazing. This is so great. We think that we're entitled to people treating us nice, kind. But the Bible, unfortunately, kind of says that we should expect the worst. But here's the thing, there's more to the story. People are messy, but people are worth it. And when we go back to the big story of the Bible, we see that God understands how bad people can be. And here's the amazing thing. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't destroy us. He makes a plan to restore us. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 14 through 18, if you guys want to turn there. This is what God did. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And so the plan wasn't just to clean up the mess or destroy the mess makers. Here's the plan that God had. Become like them in every way. That's what Jesus did. Enter the mess. A few weeks ago, we had Elijah Metelsky over, and he got out of Luke and Autumn's sight for like 30 seconds. And so they found him in our yard in this huge mud puddle. Like, he was like mud and just like zombie mode. I got to touch that mud. And he was covered in mud, just like that. And so, like any reasonable parent, they picked him up, and they're like, well, he's going home with no pants on, put him in the car, and then they were off. But God, that's the reasonable thing to do, to take care of the mess. But God, in this case, doesn't fit our definition of reasonable. What God would do in that case is he would see his child in the mud and be like, that's what we're doing? Okay. And jump in and play in the mud. And I wouldn't expect that from you, Luke. But that's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God looked at people. He looked at humanity. He looked at us, you and me, and the terrible mess. And he decided, all right, here we go. And he jumped in with us. Listen to the heart of Christ in Luke chapter 13, if you turn there with me. So when Jesus, in Luke, he's working his way toward Jerusalem, where he knows he's going to be crucified. And when he finally sees Jerusalem, this is his response. In Luke 13, verse 34, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. And so he sees this place, this mess. They're going to kill him. And yet his heart is, oh, I just long for you. I want to gather you. I want to protect you. I want to help you. I want to save you. That's the heart that Jesus had. He looked at sinful humanity. He looked at the mess. He said, it's worth it. They are worth it. Do you have the heart that Jesus had? Do you see the mess that getting deep with somebody could make in your life and think, it's worth it? The thing that's so good, I think, about this perspective is that it recognizes the truth. When we desire deep relationships in our lives, we are inviting a mess into our lives. It's like giving Amelia a permanent marker in the back of my van. I'm not going to do that. I'm not there yet, okay? People make messes, and we're recognizing that, but we also have to recognize that in God's eyes, people are worth it. Those messes are worth it. That's how our hearts should be. God thought that my messes were worth it, so he came to be with me, to save me, to love me. Is this the heart that we have? Now, one of the things that Jesus did when he came into this world is he left behind a special people, his church. And so the church is this group of saved people all over the world who are redeemed, who love Jesus, who live by the word of God as their standard. And surely we can look at the church and say, well, this will be less messy, right? It's Jesus' people. But let's return to the scriptures for some more perspective on this. Matthew 18, verse 15, before there even is a church, this is Jesus talking about the church, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. And it goes on to describe a whole process for how to deal with sin in Christ's church. Another scripture in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Then later he says, expel the wicked person from among you. Wicked people in the church, what is going on? That sounds really messy. And there are so many examples from the Bible. It's actually encouraging. Whenever something's going on in our church, I'm like, well, at least we're not like Corinth. At least we're not as bad as Laodicea. In the Bible, churches that had people in them that knew Jesus, who heard directly from the apostles, even those churches were messy. A church is going to be messy. A fake church is going to look good and easy. Church is not for people to come and act like everything is fine and put on a show because they're supposed to be perfect. It's church. Church is a place for redeemed sinners to be honest, to get real, to get help. It's a place for messes to be exposed and loved and helped, not to be covered over. It's a place for deep relationships and honesty, not surfacey hellos and see you next week. Church, our house churches, discipleship, as we get together, people, it's going to be messy, but it's even more worth it. How are your relationships here? Are you willing to get messy? Are you willing to reveal your own messes and get help? I really want to encourage us to wade into other people's messes. Help them to get help from God. We can't fix anyone. We can't cleanse a mess, but we can pick up a rag and start cleaning right next to them. Maybe you're at a loss for how to do this. Maybe you can't imagine getting this deep or this real with somebody. I want to get practical as we close out here. Here's how you can fall in love with messy people just like God did, like Jesus did, like Paul did, like any parent does, like anyone who wants to live a full life that matters does. You can fall in love with people through the magic of thanking God for them. And so we come full circle back to Paul's prayers for the people and the churches that he loved. He loved those messy churches and those people because he prayed for them all the time. We're going to close out with a scripture in 1 Samuel, if you'll turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 12. In verse 19, it says, the people all said to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die, for we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king. And so Samuel was the leader of God's people at this time, and he had a mess on his hands. The people were rejecting God as king and asking for a human king. God was hurt by this, Samuel was hurt by this, and the people, when they realize the mess they've made, they're like, we need you to pray for us. We messed up. Don't be afraid, Samuel replied. You have done all this evil. So there's that admission. Yes, you have done evil. This is what people do. Yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way that is good and right. And so Samuel had this mess on his hands because of the people that he loved, God's people. The people ask him to pray, and Samuel's response is so awesome. He says, far be it from me to fail to pray for you. And that's the heart that I want us to have. I will not fail to pray for you. It might be hard to love you. You might hurt me, but I will not fail to pray for you. How many of us can say that? Are we failing to pray for people? Who are we failing to pray for? We can kind of reverse engineer that question. Who are you having a hard time loving? Well, how much have you prayed for them? There's a correlation. There is something so magical, and I know that magical is not the right word, but it's the only way I could think of to describe it because it's divine. When we talk to God about the people that we love, and even the people that we're tempted to hate. When we thank God for the people that have messes and have messed up our lives sometimes, we are the ones who get blessed. We're the ones who are changed by God. The messes that people make, these relationships we get into, they make us better because they bring us to God when we don't fail to pray for them. So I want to encourage you, don't go to God alone. Bring all of the people in your life with you to his throne when you pray. When I thank God regularly for my wife and my children, I'm so much more loving, so much more giving toward them. When I pray for the church, for the leaders, for my house church, for the week, I have so much more energy to serve the church, so much more wisdom, so much more compassion. When I pray for the lost in my life, people that I'm studying the Bible with, I'm so much more on the mission, so much more creative, so much more willing to help. Do you pray for your families? Like, really pray. Do you pray for your friends in church and in your house church? Do you pray for the lost that need Jesus? Do you thank God for the people that he has put in your life? Every single one of them. Even him. It's that simple. Spend time regularly thanking God for people. Your relationships will radically change. We often think that people need to change. Well, if he wasn't like that, if she wasn't like that. But we can't control people. But you'll be amazed at how much things will change when you pray like Paul did for the people in your life. When you thank God for the chaos and the mess and the awesomeness and the beauty that can come from each relationship. So here's the goal of all this gratitude, this gratefulness that we're talking about this month. The goal is that your heart could be like the heart of God. That as a church, we could have God's heart. That we wouldn't shy away from the messes we see all around us in our families and in our friends and in the Lansing area. But we'd be so thankful for the relationships in our lives that just like Jesus, we'd want to jump in right next to those people. Not judging or advising from afar, but becoming like them, getting messy, and showing the love of Christ in every relationship that we've been blessed to have. It all starts by praying for people, thanking God for people, and praying to have hearts that see them as a mess worth making, just like Jesus saw me and you. And to God be the glory. Amen.